Welcome to the Beacon Podcast. I'm Angie Sura, VP of Compliance at Navigate HCR. We wanted to bring you a special segment today regarding the coronavirus and areas that employers should be aware of. We're going to talk about HIPAA, FMLA, and some pending legislation. Good morning. Today is Monday, March 16th, 2020. In the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, we wanted to share with you some important information and pending legislation. First and foremost, let's talk about HIPAA as an employer. Under HIPAA, an individual's protected health information, also known as PHI, may be disclosed without the individual's authorization only in various circumstances. Those circumstances include for providers, for the treatment of patients, to appropriate authorities engaged in public health activities, to individuals at risk for contracting or spreading of the virus, to an individual's friends and family members involved in the individual's care, and of course that is with the individual's verbal consent, to a person in a position to prevent or lessen a serious or imminent threat to the health and safety of an individual or the public. Of course, these have to be consistent with other applicable laws and standards for ethical conduct. So, of course, information may be disclosed to the Center for Disease Control and to state and local health departments that are collecting information about the spread of the virus. HIPAA will not prevent reasonable and appropriate action to alert individuals who have been exposed to the virus. Covered entities still need to be very mindful of HIPAA's requirements to safeguard PHI from inappropriate use and disclosure. Covered entities and business associates must continue to take care to use and disclose only the minimum amount of PHI necessary to verify the identity and, where appropriate, authority of individuals making inquiries. It's super critical for employers if you have an employee who has sought treatment in regard to coronavirus, you must not discuss this information with anyone except for proper government agencies. Do not discuss any employee information with the media. If you are ever unsure, please consult your legal counsel. Consult the CDC. As an employee, we must be careful when we are required to start working from home. If you are in an industry or your employment requires you to deal with any employee's PHI, any employee's health information, whether you are dealing with a FMLA leave or benefit information, things like that, you've got to be very, very careful. Especially if we're now going to start working from home. Certainly, we want to make sure that our home devices have certain access controls, such as automatic log off. We need to make sure if you are trying to connect to your place of business from home and you're not on your work laptop or computer, that your IT department is able to connect your computer and make sure that all of the proper controls are in place with regard to antiviruses and all kinds of things. So certainly, I know at our place of business, we've already received information from our corporate IT department that a lot of hackers are out there and they are attempting to connect to people at home, to their remote work sites. You know, cyber criminals are certainly trying to take advantage of these significant changes in work habits. So be very, very careful about fake links and other different types of attempts. It's all scary stuff, and it's sad that people are using their hacker skills for evil and not good, but we all must be diligent. Certainly as employees, we need to immediately report any breach scenarios that may occur while we're working off-site. We want to prevent family members or guests from viewing or overhearing any type of PHI. Don't use public or unsecured networks to access or communicate PHI, and certainly be aware of how you're accessing any copies of PHI. And that's whether it's paper copies or electronic copies. And certainly make sure that your connection to your network, you reviewed this with your IT department or your IT vendor to make sure that you have everything tightened up and secure. The next area that I want to talk about is FMLA. We're going to go over here shortly some pending legislation that has already been passed in the House and is moving over to the Senate this week, and it is about 110 pages long. It's very interesting stuff. We're going to go over that in just a moment. But first and foremost, I want to let everybody know that FMLA is not designed to provide coverage or protections if you are avoiding your workplace. I know that everybody is very, very fearful right now because of this pandemic, but keep in mind, although the pending legislation is going to address a lot of things about FMLA, not going to work on your own to avoid your workplace or avoid potential exposure is not an FMLA situation. I want to talk now about the pending legislation. Again, as I said, it's 110 pages already approved by the House on its way to the Senate. This is an interesting read. This is called H.R. 6201, Families First Coronavirus Response Act. There are multiple divisions within this. I am certainly not going to cover all of them. I want to cover what is important for our employers out there. But please note for anyone else listening to this podcast, the summary is actually a really good read. It's only about 10 pages long, but there are some interesting things in here regarding the WIC program or emergency food assistance programs. A lot of good stuff in here that you all may be interested in reading. Senior nutrition program. I'm really pleased at the work being done on this legislation. I know they're moving very, very quickly. What I've been able to glean so far is it's actually a really helpful piece of legislation. We certainly need it right now. There's so many unknowns. But today I want to focus on a few important pieces out of this for our employer friends out there. So Division C within this legislation includes Emergency Family and Medical Leave Expansion Act. What they're doing in this act is really putting together some information for businesses with fewer than 500 employees. Now, if you were to read the entire segment of legislation in this, there are some additional features about employers with 25 or less employees. So basically what they're doing here is ramping up some FMLA type of leave for those businesses that are under 500. Part of the FMLA is some rules to determine whether you are an eligible employee. Those rules, as have been around for many, many years, are you have to have worked at least 12 months and accrued at least 1,250 hours. Part of this Emergency Family and Medical Leave Expansion Act is really to amend that, and we're looking now at employees who have been on the job for at least 30 days. So that's a significant expansion to our traditional FMLA. With regard to this, the 12 weeks of job protected leave would still be used for the following reasons: to adhere to a requirement or recommendation to quarantine due to exposure to or symptoms of coronavirus, to care for an at-risk family member who is adhering to a requirement or recommendation to quarantine due to exposure or for symptoms of coronavirus, and to care for a child of an employee if the child's school or place of care has been closed or the child care provider is unavailable due to coronavirus. After the 2 weeks of paid leave, employees will receive a benefit from their employers that will be no less than 2/3 of the employee's annual pay. There are also some additional time limits that are extended. So traditionally, when there's a situation of an FMLA request, medical certifications are generally required within 15 days. Obviously, our healthcare professionals and our healthcare facilities are extremely busy and have lots and lots going on. So we're looking at the concept here of allowing, 3 weeks or longer if needed, obviously, to get any type of medical cert documents from your physician. We know that a lot of times, and what we're seeing certainly in the news, is that if you experience any symptoms, you're not necessarily to go rushing into any medical facility, but to certainly call first. Again, I'm pretty confident that is to reduce exposure to others. So certainly we want to give a longer window of time to eventually provide that medical certification. The next section that I want to cover is the Emergency Paid Sick Leave Act. This is Division E of the pending legislation. So this section, again, is for employers with fewer than 500 employees, as well as government employers to provide employees with two weeks of paid sick leave, paid at the employee's regular rate, to quarantine or seek a diagnosis or preventative care for coronavirus, or paid at 2/3 the employee's regular rate to care for a family member for such purposes of, care for a child whose school has closed, if a family member has been diagnosed with the coronavirus. Full-time employees would be entitled to 2 weeks. Part-time employees are entitled to the typical number of hours that they work in a typical two-week period. This act and the requirements would expire on December 31st of 2020. So in the meantime, what I want to really convey is, employers, you should be doing the following. Certainly review your current leave-related policies and procedures. Be prepared to consult with counsel if you need to update these policies. Certainly keep an eye on what your state is doing as well. A lot of companies are restricting non-essential business travel. I think that is a great thing to look at doing. We certainly want to require that employees are complying with any CDC quarantine guidance when returning from personal travel from high-risk areas. Certainly send employees home who exhibit any coronavirus symptoms and require that they don't return until they're at least 24 hours symptom-free. Please do not ask employees questions likely to elicit information about a disability, unless, of course, it's job-related and consistent with any business necessities. Please instruct your managers and supervisors to promptly notify HR in confidence of any employee who says anything about having a physical or mental impairment so that HR can coordinate. You always want to be very careful and certainly consult counsel to make sure you are handling any FMLA or ADA issues the right way. It seems as though employees are certainly going to be looking to employers for guidance, for up-to-date information about their own place of employment. So employers, please be diligent. Certainly, our recommendation at Navigate is to be careful of things on social media and out there on the web. Please refer to CDC, CMS, HHS, please refer to the proper government websites to give you the most accurate information. I know it changes. It seems like every moment something new is coming out. If your having any concerns about some of this pending legislation, please know that part of this legislation is also to support employers. So employers who will pay for emergency sick leave or FMLA due to coronavirus, there will be tax credits generally equal to about 100% of the amounts required to be paid to employees. So please know that although a lot of these provisions are to protect the American citizens, there are certainly provisions out here protecting employers. I know that this is going to be a very challenging few weeks that we have coming up. There are some provisions in this pending legislation for emergency unemployment insurance, what they're calling the Stabilization and Access Act. This is Division D. Certainly, there are going to be large pots of money available for additional funding to various states for staffing, technology, administrative costs, and so on. We want to make sure that not only are we protecting workers who and our employees who maybe are unable to come to work, if your state or local authorities or the federal government, for that matter, closes down your place of business, if it's considered something non-essential. It looks like part of this legislation is going to address some of the unemployment compensation situations. It certainly is not going to require that an employee quit in order to obtain unemployment. There are definitely provisions in here. When an employer temporarily has to cease operations due to coronavirus, if an individual is quarantined, if an individual leaves employment due to risk of exposure or infection to care for a family member, a lot of these things are addressed in this legislation, and I'm sure states will look at adopting possibly even more comprehensive provisions. A lot of interesting information. Again, there's a 10-page summary. I recommend that employers take a moment to grab that and read that. If you're not sure where to get that, please let us know at Navigate. We would be happy to send you that summary. You can reach me at Angie@NavigateHCR.com. Happy to help in whatever way that I can. Another piece I want to talk about are the health provisions. This is Division F. Certainly, our health insurance carriers are jumping in here, and we are looking to minimize costs, minimize the co-pays and deductibles and things like that when it comes to this pending legislation. We want to make sure, certainly, that you guys are all aware. Please pay attention to what your insurance carriers are saying with regard to your plans in your states. I know some are already waiving costs under, you know, some of the various programs. So please pay attention to anything that your insurance carrier is saying in your state. Be prepared to distribute any documentation that your carrier provides to you over to your employees so that they know. I know that in our world, copays and deductibles are very high, and we certainly don't want employees to worry about, you know, how are they going to pay for costs of testing or, you know, treatment or quarantine and things like that. So certainly provisions are here in this pending legislation, but I know that other carriers out there, health insurance carriers, are already starting on making things more economical when it comes to treatment and testing of the coronavirus. So please keep an eye on your carrier's website for up-to-date information. The last thing I really want to talk about, and mainly because I'm just coming off of my own insurance continuing education course, and part of the conversation was about businesses' insurance coverage. So aside from your medical coverage or your benefits that you're providing employers as a business, we know you have business insurance. So, you know, you're insuring your buildings, you're insuring your contents, you know, all of those kind of things. And my husband is actually a commercial insurance agent. in our state. So I'd asked him for a bit of a blurb. You know, I know that it's being talked about out there, and certainly from my class I was just attending, you know, what about business income coverage? And that was quite the topic of conversation during our class because of everything going on with the coronavirus and you know, it's affecting businesses in so many ways. And so I asked my husband this morning, I said, can you send me, you know, a blurb that I can share with my listeners regarding business income coverage? You know, if your business has to shut down because of, you know, this pandemic, obviously as a business, you're losing money. And I know from my insurance history, there are things such as business income coverage. So I said to him, you know, is it covered? And just to give you guys this information, the short answer is there is no coverage. Why? Because business income coverage is really an indirect loss. In order to have an indirect loss, you first must have a covered direct loss. So if you think of, you know, fire or a windstorm or hail, that's a direct loss that could impact your ability to bring an income as a business. It also applies to the additional coverage of civil authority. So if we don't have coverage for, or we don't have a covered direct loss, such as our building burns down, then there's really nothing triggering coverage for an indirect loss, which would be your loss of income or business income coverage. Generally, there are property exclusions out there applicable to viruses that may apply as well. Now, ISO has created two new business income endorsements, but they have not filed those endorsements yet. What they're doing is they're leaving that up to insurance carriers to look at filing those types of endorsements with regulatory authorities. At this point, you know, there's not much we can really say about these endorsements. No carriers that we know of yet have picked this up. You know, seeing that government entities are mandating closures, I'm not sure how insurance carriers on the property and casualty side are going to react, or if they're going to jump in and do anything. I know we're very focused as a country on health and well-being of our citizens. So I think that something perhaps down the road, once, you know, they get a handle on the virus and where we are in the nation, that they'll probably look at, you know, some of these other variables out there with regard to, you know, how this is going to impact businesses in our economy. So it'll be a challenging couple of weeks, I think, for us in our nation. Certainly our prayers and thoughts go out to everybody in the world right now as we all are trying to work through all of this. I hope that some of this information was helpful to you. Certainly take a look at this pending legislation. Again, please follow the CDC, CMS, HHS, be careful of the other information that's floating around on social media and whatnot. And please be mindful of, you know, what guidance we're given as a nation, as communities, on being safe and, you know, social distancing, all of that. It's very important what we're seeing from other countries that were affected prior to us. It's definitely a very scary time, but I'm really happy to see the government putting together some great legislation focusing on, you know, our most critical populations and needs, with, you know, food and protection for our children and our seniors. Stay tuned. We will post additional podcasts and white papers at Navigate as we are given information. Again, we focus our research on the proper government websites so that we can make sure to bring you accurate information. Stay safe out there, and certainly help your neighbor as you can. Thanks all. Talk soon. Bye.